Welcome again to the Christian Cowboy Journals. This is your host, or whatever you want to call me, Pastor Eric Miller, here in Rochester, New York, with Servant Spirit Ministries. And just a few updates. I have created a Facebook group, so please join us there. Or if you'd like to donate or anything, feel free on the website. Or just check us out at Servant Spirit Ministries, either on Facebook or WNYMinistries.org. I guess I get a chance to ramble on a little bit and maybe figure out what to talk about and see if there might be some cohesiveness to it at the end. Maybe we can talk about tithing. Tithing is an interesting subject. In the Bible, it mentions that, you know, do not place your alms before men, which is your giving. And at that time, alms were what you would give to the poor. You know, don't do it for the glory of others. Don't do it for your glory of yourself, but do it to just give. And, but also in a way, kind of tithing should be, kind of, in my opinion, a little bit the same. You know, what you tithe is ultimately between you and God. And, you know, the 10% is tithing. Anything over that is offerings. Or, as we like to call them nowadays, donations. And one of the things, although in the Bible talents were a currency, but why isn't it that we're always so focused on how we monetarily tithe to our church? Or the church, or however you want to refer to it. But we don't give our time. Now, there are many people who are good at banking. They're good as CPAs. They're good as mechanics. They're good old truck drivers out there. Security officers. You know, they're cashiers. Cooks, waitresses, we've got all these people, nurses, health professionals, that go to church, and yeah, they have no problem maybe giving 10% or 15% of their income, but when is it they gave 10% of their time? Now, basing that more or less off of a 40-hour work week, which is what used to be traditional in the U.S., 4 hours a week is 10%. How hard would it be for a mechanic to donate 4 hours of his time? Doesn't mean he has to donate his money for the parts, but 4 hours of his time working either on the church vehicle to help maintain it, or the vehicle of a church member or someone who walks into the church with vehicle problems. You know, it only takes, well, an experienced mechanic can probably change an alternator in 30 minutes or less. So changing out a battery doesn't take but 15 minutes. But how hard would that be? What kind of world would it be in a different place if we took, you know, 10% of our time? Now, I know that there are some jobs and career fields where you don't work 40-hour weeks. You work maybe a 70 or 60 or 80-hour week. But if the work is that important to you, why not take 10% out of the week in general and apply that to, you know, helping those in need? And again, it doesn't always have to be, you know, helping the church staff, but it could definitely be used to help other people. You know, how many, you know, yeah, there are these mobile RVs, mobile healthcare unit RVs, whatever you want to call them, that go around, but in many cases, their healthcare seems to be forced. Oh, you must get the flu shot in order to stay at a shelter, or you must do that, this or that. You must get this shot or that shot or be checked for this. You know, that's almost a mandatory healthcare. When in the U.S. we have the right to refuse any unnecessary medical treatment. So personally, if I feel I don't need a flu shot, then I should be able to refuse it. But that's another issue entirely. But as a healthcare professional, checking, you know, nurses can check blood pressure, check blood sugar, and just check the overall health status of someone that's homeless. But again, if we donated even a tenth of our time, if we all donated a tenth of our time, now a truck driver can't exactly, you know, haul commercial goods maybe for, you know, 7 hours a week. But maybe when they're on home time, you know, helping with a church bus or a transportation ministry. You know, there's always a need for that. Which also kind of leads the transportation, and of course, you know, it's kind of a given, those that are very skilled with financial matters, CPAs and accountants, and, you know, even those that work at the bank, you know, helping to manage things, you know, but it's all a matter of your time. You know, some people already do that, some, you know, with their talents with, you know, music, and that's great. You know, sometimes people, you know, will avoid church if there's not a good music service, before, you know, praise and worship service. But, you know, just, we all have God-given talents. And it doesn't involve, and those aren't the monetary kind. You know, God gave us certain skill sets. Heck, even web developers are great at building web pages. You know, why should there be a market specifically to charge churches for things? Although, yeah, granted, some mega churches and things like that could use to be charged a little bit, but, you know, but a true church, a small church, is trying to do good for its community, or a ministry, or outreach. You know, where's the good web pages for them? Unless they pay a hefty price. And then, of course, there's, you know, just the cost of hosting and things like that can also be kind of, you know, expensive. You know, if things like that were done for our, if we did those things for our churches and local ministries, you know, the true nonprofits that are helping, you know, there wouldn't technically need to be a need for a nonprofit status, because the key things that have gotten quite costly and almost seem to be a necessary part of doing business, per se, or even, you know, to do the Lord's business, put the word out there that you need help, you know, it can get costly. But I digress. There's so many different skills and talents that we all have. I mean, heck, one of my hobbies is amateur radio. And I know there's a few people, a few of my friends on Facebook that are also into this hobby. You know, amateur radio operators as well. Well, that's a talent. You know, wireless microphones, microphone speaker systems, voltages, and all these other good things, and trying to get it all to record and record efficiently. You know, there's another good use of God-given skills and talents. So that's one thing regarding tithing. And with a slight touch of non-profit, you know, the whole bit about non-profits. But ultimately, that is what the church is to be. A community of believers. They get together, the fellowship, share our skill sets to help each other out. When have we gotten away from that? You know, I can admit that at times I'm guilty myself. We're all guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just by His grace that we're saved. So, you know, that would be one thing to be, to attempt to be more like Christ. Is to use what we have to help. That's one thing that even Servant Spirit Ministries has. We have a local transportation ministry. It's not much, you know, but it's, and it's using a personal vehicle because we don't have a church or ministry vehicle. So, but why, anywhere in the country, you can drive through on a weekday and occasionally you'll see the pastor or church staff driving the church vehicle briefly. But most of them sit parked all week long, doing nothing. And sometimes they're locked in behind fences and gates because they're in a bad neighborhood. You know, why is that? Why are we so afraid of the neighbors around us that we have to keep things locked up as a church? If we are truly helping our community, you would think our gates would be wide open. Our church vehicles would be out there being used. You know, a large portion of adults have driver's licenses, so it doesn't have to be just, you know, truck drivers per se. But you know, there's a large group of vehicles out there that are sitting unused, except for, if you're lucky, you'll see them on Sunday morning to go pick up a select few people to go to church. That those same people, I'm sure, don't live just on the word of God alone. They do need bread, water, milk, eggs. You know, or if they are in a facility, you know, I'm sure they, you know, they sometimes use help to medical appointments. Or just to go for a ride to the park. Or other church functions. So why do we let these vehicles sit? God blessed us with them. I mean, God's even blessed us with our personal vehicles. You know, these large corporations and companies, you know, Uber, Lyft, and all these other things, they all exist because there's a need. And yes, there are many people that can afford to take a taxi or take those services. And they're great, you know, it's great for them. But there's a lot of people that can't. And what are they supposed to do? Rely on a monthly bus pass from welfare to go do welfare's work program for free, and then the bus pass is only given to the member in the household that's going to the work program. If the other member is disabled and needs to get to appointments, they don't give them the bus pass. They don't give them a separate bus pass. And so, what are they to do? Yeah, sometimes they can call on a medical ride or something like that. And, you know, that's great. But some of those companies, stop dispatching, stop answering the phone. And if there's a medical emergency and your appointment runs late, how are you supposed to get back home? Especially if the medical appointment was off the bus route, that's why you had to call them in the first place. You know, there's a lot wrong with the system. You know, the government can only do so much, but they've got so many rules in place that, you know, in order to prevent fraudulent use, that makes it difficult for those that are actually really trying and have no other choice. Why can't we be the ones to help fill in the gap? Instead, we talk about how they all must be doing drugs. Or they're all just popping out kids just to get more money. Or the large majority of them are all illegals. Or African Americans. Poverty affects everybody. Illegals, legals, whites, blacks, Asians, Koreans, Hindu, everybody. Anybody can be homeless. Especially in this day and age. Anybody can go hungry. You know. Just because a family has a lot of money doesn't mean the children might not go hungry because the money's spent in the wrong spot. You never know. But things aren't just about money. You know, Jesus in the Bible says we'll be known by our love. You know, to be more like Christ is to be loving and caring in a good way. You know, how much is it more for you that you would give meat to your child, but yet give a stone to a friend? Or give some to a stranger that would ask for something to eat. Feel free to look at, you know, you'll find the scriptures I'm referencing. Some of them may sound familiar. I might be slightly misquoting, but I try to get as close as possible. I'm not perfect. Nobody is except for Christ. And they put him on a cross. On the cross. But there is so much we can do to help each other out there. That all it takes is a loving heart to try. And if you do it out of love and not out of personal gain, then you are less likely to reach a burnout point. If it is truly about your faith and your love. So there's a couple things there. You know, there's many things us as Christians and those that call themselves Christians do that isn't the greatest. We're not perfect, but our goal is to try to be. And there are different things that we can all squabble over in theology. You know, or that, you know, for example, oh, you must have a master's or bachelor's in divinity before you can be a pastor. Before you can lead a congregation. No. I mean, most people, by the time it takes them to get that master's or bachelor's degree, even in a regular schooling program, let alone a seminary school, are going to be well older than I am. And here I am getting really close to 40. I'm just a little over a month away from my birthday at the time of this recording. But, and yet, here's one thing. Do you remember how old Christ was when he was on that cross? He wasn't 40. He wasn't 50 or 60 years old. The timeline places him in his early 30s. 32, 33 years old. Now, how many people at that age, one, would know, you know, even if you did grow up in the church and went to a seminary school, at that age would be ready to pass, would be ready to lead a congregation. Seminary schools can keep you going until just about 40 years old sometimes, in many cases. I mean, we could have all the knowledge in the world. Without love, it's meaningless. We can do everything we want to try and help the world. Without love, it's meaningless. You know. Again, please feel free to, you know, reach out to me, comment. Good or bad. If the bad, at least be constructive. Please. But I hope that you enjoy, you know, and if it's good, you know, even just, you know, like a comment saying that you enjoyed it, you hated it. I'm sorry if there's any popping noises in the microphone. I'm in the process of trying to fix that, and hopefully my podcast will improve over time. But I can only do that with feedback and help from the listeners. And again, this is part of Servant Spirit, you know, Christian Cowboy Journal, part of Servant Spirit Ministries, based out of Rochester, New York. You can call and leave a message at toll-free 1-866-499-6429. Or there's a Facebook group for Christian Cowboy Journals, as well as Servant Spirit Ministries has a page. And also the webpage at wnyministries.org. You know, I'd love to hear from you. At least let me know you're there. If not, I'll keep trying to produce these as long as I can. And pray that I get better with time. All right, God bless, and hope you enjoy this cast.